Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, and we pray that you are having a glorious, glorious day. You got one more day. If April has not been a good month for you, you got one more day to turn that around. And I pray that you will finish strong in the month of April. It's hard to believe how fast this year is going by. Last year seemed to drag and drag and drag, and we are plugging right along here, and we are thankful that you have decided to make this a part of your day. Hopefully you hear something that you like. I do want to say thank you to all of those who listened to the Refresh radio program and were part of the WMIE Spring fundraiser. I was told here not long ago that the Refresh radio program was mentioned multiple times by people who decided to, over the next 6 months, support the radio station financially. And we want to thank you for listening and thank you for that feedback, and pray that God will continue to use this program to bless you, equip you, and challenge you for the work of the ministry here in Brevard County. We are going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. Not going to read everything the whole passage, but we'll read some. We have been talking about the ways that the Queen of Sheba came to observe Solomon to find out if the things that she had heard in her country were true about Solomon in his country. And she came, verse number 3 says this: "So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness.'" So yesterday we talked about how the last thing that is mentioned that the Queen of Sheba was impressed with was how Solomon went up to the house of the Lord. And it says there in verse number, I believe that's verse number 5, that there was no more spirit in her. I don't believe that means that the life left her body. that's not what, but she had a doubt. In fact, she says in verse number 7 that the things she had heard about Solomon, she did not believe them. She did not believe them. It was not customary for people who were royalty to end up serving with wisdom. You know, they served from a selfish perspective, and the Queen of Sheba sees wisdom in everything that Solomon was doing. She came to test Solomon with all of the questions that was in her heart. And so what I believe is taking place here in verse number 5 is that the spirit of doubt left her because everywhere she looked in Solomon's kingdom, she saw the wisdom of God. Okay. Now remember, we're looking for justice. We're looking for seek justice. That's the premise of what we're looking for. And you know, you're not going to find justice with rioting you're not even going to be able to find justice in court systems in many places in the world. You're going to have to find justice in the house of God. So that's where we're going. We're just spending some time appreciating this text in 1 Kings chapter 10. It says, there was no more spirit in her. There was no more doubt. There were no more, this can't be true because of this difficult thing right here. Solomon had addressed all of that. Everywhere she looked, all of the words that she heard him speak, everything pointed to the fact that Solomon had been endowed with a divine gift of wisdom that had not been seen up until this point. Now, Jesus would later say, one greater than Solomon is here. And that was Jesus. So, she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. So, she said, okay, the report that I heard was an accurate report. I don't know if you've ever participated in that game of it's a group exercise where a person communicates something to another person, and then that person in turn communicates it to a third person, and eventually it makes it back around to the person that started the message in the first place. And the point is to see how much the story deviates from the first speaking of it until it makes it back to the original source. So there are a lot of people who approach the Word of God who think that there really weren't any miracles. They don't think there were signs and wonders. They don't think that the children of Israel came across on dry land in the Red Sea. You know, there's an old story that I heard in Bible college. It's probably more story than truth, but talked about how there was a lady in church, and she was just exuberant in her faith and love to express herself. She sounds like the type of lady that we'd like in our church, because she just heard it and combined faith with it, and it just blessed her heart. And so she was constantly amening the pastor. Well, this church wasn't 100% comfortable with vocal expressions of appreciation and agreement when the pastor was speaking. And so they complained to the pastor, and he said, don't worry, I'll take care of that next week. And so he was preaching and about the children of Israel, and they said, now what we have learned scientifically is that the point of the Red Sea where the children of Israel crossed, that at that point in time it was only a superficial amount of water. It was more dry than it was wet. And all of a sudden she said, amen, hallelujah. And at that point in time, the pastor said, did you hear what I said? That it wasn't a wall of water on both sides. It was just a little bit of water. And she said, well, that means that God drowned Pharaoh's army in just a small amount of water, and that's a miracle. You know, I want you to know that we need to approach the Word of God with faith, okay? Now, I believe the word of God when it says there was a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other side. That's what I believe. When it says that Jesus went around healing and doing signs and wonders, I believe that he went around healing and doing signs and wonders and delivering all those that were oppressed. I believe what it says. I believe that what was possible then is possible now. I believe that what's possible in the future is possible now because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. The question is not so much the facts. The question is, how are we going to respond to the facts? What the Queen of Sheba said was, the facts that I heard concerning your words and your wisdom, those facts I did not believe. I did not believe. I want you to know that a lot of people will put it this way. I can't believe that. I just can't believe it. Well, the truth of the matter is, it is not your lack of ability to believe it. It is a lack of will as to whether or not you're going to believe it. So when I look at the Word of God, when I look at the impact it's made in people's lives, when I look at the extensive verification of the facts of the Word of God, history and throughout society, and even today, we're still finding archaeological evidence that verifies the Word of God. When I look at all of that, I tell you, I do not have enough faith to believe that the Word of God is not true. I have the faith to believe that the Word of God is true. There are people that say, well, I can't believe it. And like I shared with our congregation recently, I think this was on Easter Sunday, if you do not believe the revelation that you currently have, the scripture says that you will not believe even if someone raises from the dead. The religious leadership at the crucifixion of Jesus was saying, come down from the cross and we will believe you. Well, that didn't stop them with Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. Jesus raised him from the dead. And they said, we need to kill Lazarus because there are too many people coming to faith in what Lazarus has already experienced. There is a solution for not believing. There's not necessarily a solution for a person who won't believe. Okay? If you hear something and it sounds too good to be true, and you say, I've got to go find out for myself, which is what the Queen of Sheba has done here, that's an entirely different journey than the person that says, I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe it. We have multitudes in society right now who are trying to redefine things that are absolute truth. And the reason that they give for trying to redefine those truths and not believing them is not because they do not believe, it's because they refuse to believe. Okay? So she said, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. Missouri is known as the show me state. They want to be able to see it. And I will tell you, as a pastor who's been at Merit Assembly of God now for almost 28 years, I've had a lot of people that have come through and made a lot of boasts with their mouth. But I will tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that I see that have the do in their life, not just the words in their mouth. And so she said, I came and I saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half wasn't told me. So she said, upon further examination, I have found the report that I received in my land about your words and your wisdom. I found it to be inaccurate, not because it wasn't true, but because you are so much wiser and so much more skilled with your words than what they reported to me. I was always taught in business that you under-promise and over-deliver. You under-promise and over-deliver. And so recently I had an experience where that was the case. And whenever that's the case, you are going to have a different reaction than someone who over-promises and under-delivers. Okay, so two examples. I'll give you, first of all, an overpromise and an underdeliver. My wife had ordered something for our grandchildren for Resurrection Sunday, and she had ordered it in plenty of time, and it said that it was going to arrive the Thursday before Easter. And it even gave a time frame. It was going to show up probably after we went to bed, but it was going to show up on Thursday, and it didn't show up on Thursday. And so I made a trip home on Friday, and I was looking for the package because I wanted to, you know, get it in the house, and the package wasn't there. And so I sent her a message. I said, any word on the message or on the package, because the package still hasn't come. And she said, no, it's not here. And so we looked for it on Friday and it did not show. And we looked for it on Saturday and it did not show. And we looked for it right up until the time that we were going over to see them after church on Sunday, and it still hadn't arrived, and there was disappointment because there had been a promise made that was not a promise kept. Recently, I was doing a project, and I had to order something. And the person, when I went over and I paid my deposit, they said, okay, it's going to be next week before we get to come out and get the measurements of that. And then it will be another 7 days until, you know, we're able to get that manufactured and in place. And, you know, at first you're like, okay, so that's 10 days. That's longer than what I was looking for, but you know, we can live with that. We can. So, that was on a Wednesday. On Friday, the person that's handling that project for me said, I don't know if you know this or not, but the guy came out and measured everything yesterday. So that would have been a Thursday. That meant that he was out there days ahead of schedule. And he said, and he just called me and he told me that the product is going to be delivered today. So this is 2 days. So now 20% of the time of what he had told me at the very earliest. And the guy that I was talking to said, well, you know, I've done business with this person and it may be late into the night before it gets there. And it's like, okay, well, it was done before my wife got home. And when that happens, it is a wonderful, wonderful reaction that you have, because you said, you know what? They told me one thing. They went above and beyond what they told me. That's what the Queen of Sheba saw in the words and the wisdom of Solomon. And she says, indeed, half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Now, remember what she heard about Solomon that made him famous was concerning the name of the Lord. Concerning the name of the Lord. It is great to be wise, but you're going to find some wisdom here and there among people. You know, common sense isn't as common as it used to be. Wisdom is not as wise as it used to be. It's much more rare. And so that's, you know, it's something you're going to see. She said, I not only heard about your wisdom, but I heard about your prosperity. Well, you're going to find a lot of people right now who their 401ks have done quite well over the past 5 years. Their homes have appreciated. There's a lot of people who are doing better financially than they've ever done before. There were people who were extremely rich before 2020, and they're even richer after 2020. You're going to find prosperity, okay? You look at the gifts that the Queen of Sheba brought and the gifts that Solomon bestowed upon her, and you're going to find this is a mutual admiration society when it comes to prosperity. But she said, they exceed the fame of which I heard. What she was saying was the wisdom that you have isn't the same wisdom that the world has. This is the wisdom that concerns the name of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. The prosperity you have is not just an abundant balance sheet at the bank. You have a prosperity. You have a culture. You have an atmosphere that you have created here that reflects a vibrant relationship with God. If you turn over to 3 John, 3 John is just a few verses. 3 John, it's right before another single chapter book, and that is the Epistle of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation. But it says in verse number 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I don't believe that it was just the lavish amount of wealth going on in Israel at that time that impressed the Queen of Sheba, but it was the prosperity that concerned the fame concerning the name of the Lord. And there's a difference. May you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Did you know that if your soul is not prospering and you don't have any money, that there are people who are in that position and they have as big a problem with greed as what people that have an abundance of money. You say, how can you say that? Listen, I have been in people's homes that did not have any financial resources, but they had so much stuff that you could have filled 2 houses of their size with all of the stuff that they had. But it was just stuff, and they weren't thriving spiritually. And so what I tell people is when you've got stuff, everything at some point in time tends to end up in the scrapyard or in the junkyard or in the dump. Everything tends to deteriorate. It's just stuff. So if your prosperity is based on your stuff, you know, there could be one thing that was worth a lot of money today that could be worth absolutely nothing tomorrow. Okay? Technology advances. And so whatever you find available technologically, by the time it hits the market, it's already pretty much obsolete. That's how fast things are advancing. But when your prosperity is concerning the fame regarding your relationship with God. That means that you're prospering in every area of your life. May you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Okay? May you prosper mentally. May you prosper relationally. May you prosper with a satisfaction that you have served to the glory of God. We've got a couple of minutes. So let's deal with verse number 8. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. I'm not going to get all the way through verse number 8, but here's here's what the Queen of Sheba didn't say. Your men must be very happy. Your servants must be very happy. That's not what she said. What she said was, happy are your men, and happy are these your servants. Remember, she had seen wisdom manifest from the top to the bottom. She had observed a great deal of Solomon's kingdom. And everywhere she looked, she found servants who were serving the king with contentment and joy. Can I tell you that the most joy-filled place that you will ever experience is when you are right in the center of God's will? And I want to encourage you, if you are serving and it has become drudgery, if it has become something that you dread instead of something that you eagerly look forward to, I want to encourage you to pray a prayer that David prayed, and that is this: God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You and I, we should be known by the countenance change that we have had experienced in our life because of the reality that God has transformed us, written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and is doing remarkable things. I pray today that it'll be said of Brevard County, happy are the saints who are serving in Brevard County to the glory of God. God bless you. You have a great day. See you tomorrow.
Thank
right here
on
Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.